Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
The Brain Massage Show releases truth antibodies in the brain that attack and destroy liberal lies.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. You know, we did lose a great hero in John Glenn, first to orbit the Earth in space. Died at 95. Trump's picks continue to be our focus. I spoke to his Mad Dog Maddox pick last week, and like you, I've been watching the picks with interest, and I'm enthusiastic about, well, most of them, at least with those related to national security so far and foreign affairs. We'll see what he does with regard to the Secretary of State. You think he'll offer it to Hillary? Not likely. She has experience here. But anyway, but Romney, really? I get to thinking about that, and I share the sentiment I hear expressed about a Romney pick for Secretary of State. But I got to thinking, what exactly is the reason that we're concerned about a possible Romney pick? He is, I guess that puts him at number three in the lineup for the office of presidency if, you know, if it came to that and so on. But anyway, perhaps we'll discuss that today. I doubt it. Looking at what I've got to go over, I doubt that we'll get there. Anyway, before we get started today, I want to throw out something of a caveat. Perhaps is the wrong word. I'm going to make a statement regarding my policy, what I've decided that I'm going to do in terms of handling the Trump presidency. That is assuming we get through December 19th with at least enough of the electors still on board to close the deal. But I want to say right out front, so far as I'm concerned, it's in the Lord's hand where it's always been. And I believe he has spoken. Okay. I think he's had mercy on us. He's given us option 3 of Amos 7, that secret code that only those who are familiar with the Bible and or with prior shows on this topic will understand. Now, you could call 1-888-770-8000 to get your decoder ring. There are continuing rumbles of mutiny on the Electoral College floor, with two electors in Colorado actually suing their state in order to free them to switch their vote. Now, their idea, their plan, is that if they're successful, they think this will embolden enough electors to join them and switch their vote to get an alternative GOP candidate in office. I understand they're not trying to get Hillary in, but they're hoping they can influence enough GOP electors who are disaffected with Trump to switch and get somebody other than Trump. So I'll probably need to address that again, although it truly does not seem likely. I mean, lower courts have upheld a political party's right to pledge electors and a state's right, by the way, to direct electors to vote according to the popular vote of their state. Besides all this, Trump has 307 electoral votes now. He needs 270 to win. So they would have to flip 38 electors. And that doesn't seem like, okay, not totally impossible, but it doesn't seem within the realm of probability. Anyway, we've also got recounts continuing to bubble up here and there. The recount in Wisconsin is 82% done, and so far it has netted Hillary a whopping 61 more votes. But that still leaves her well over 20,000 votes behind Trump there. The Philadelphia recount is completed, and it netted Hillary 5 votes. So assuming we get through December 19 and the last shoe falls on the floor of the Electoral College and the desperate Dems and never-Trumpers finally cry Uncle Sam, I want my listeners to know how I intend to handle a Trump presidency. Well, I intend to handle it exactly the way I handled the Obama presidency, or the Bush presidency, or for that matter, the Reagan presidency. Let's go there briefly to make my point. When Reagan wanted to grant amnesty to all the illegals, I cried foul and complained it was a breakdown in the integrity of our borders, that it sent exactly the wrong message to citizens here, to those who are in line waiting for entry, to those who have come here legally, and to those who are here illegally, and to those who would aspire to come here illegally. It was just a bad idea. Reagan had the chance to do something about this problem, and frankly, he blew it. And my point? I liked Reagan. But when Reagan did something I thought was wrong, I aggressively spoke against it. By the way, I also spoke against his cave-in to the Dems on the budget deal and the flimsy Democrat promise. What was that? That they would cut a dollar of spending for every dollar of increase? Or was it $3 in spending for every dollar? I can't remember right now, but it was something like that. And I trumpeted my opposition to that loudly. I knew the Dems would not keep their promise. They never keep their promises on things like that, right? Just about anything else for that matter. I thought it was either a case of uncharacteristic simple-mindedness for him to go along with that. It was certainly a departure from the old trust but verify guy that we all came to love so well, you know. Or I thought perhaps the deal here was a cover for his administration to use to shield him from backlash for signing on to that tax and spend budget boondoggle. Reagan supporters tolerated that from me. Trump supporters, and of course we're speaking generally, by the way, not particularly of every individual in that camp, but generally speaking, they seem to be very sensitive to any criticism of Trump. I guess Reagan had some of that too, by the way, in the earlier days, I remember. His supporters would hammer the MSM if they attempted to pile on. But my point to you, my dear listeners, is this, and it's something I only recently began to realize that I needed to clarify. This show is not about supporting anybody's favorite candidate. It never has been. It's about the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. If I make a mistake in judgment or in fact, and certainly I've done that, it is never because I attempted to use spin or to fabricate facts in order to support some personal point of view or to advance some agenda. You know, I make mistakes from time to time, but I never engage in spin or cherry picking facts to fit my fancy. That does not happen on this show. For example, you remember I endorsed Cruz and I flew true through all the flack fired at me over his wife working for Goldman Sachs. And of course, not much is said now when Trump hires a 17-plus-year Goldman Sachs veteran who is invested up to his neck in Sachs, or at least was, a man who's thick with globalist Goldman, to run the Treasury. You talk about the fox in the henhouse. So, and not only is he neck deep in Sachs, but he also worked for Soros. Whoa. Now, more on that in a moment. But when Cruz chose Carly, I called him on it and said it was a political maneuver. I did not hide my disappointment for his pick, and I even suggested it was very likely a signal that his campaign was over and that it showed a little strain of political maneuvering in his character. It was a desperate move, in my view, and I think it hurt him more than helped him, but that's my opinion. These are not popular positions, but I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to provide a voice for truth that is perfectly independent of any bias or agenda that comes at the questions in our day and the debate going on in our country, from a perspective that comes from a biblical understanding of truth, not from a humanistic rationalist perspective, which is pretty much what you get almost everywhere else. So with that in mind, let me offer a deep massage today. Let's look at the Trump picks.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
My dear friends, bear with me a moment. Now, we've come to a crossroads in our efforts to provide the Brain Massage Show. And I need to raise something in the neighborhood of 17,000 by August of 2017. We've got enough listeners so that if a third of you gave, actually probably fewer than that, gave $25 to $50 each, we would easily raise enough to cover this. One of our faithful supporters asked me if he could talk to you. So please listen to this. A friend of the Brain Massage Show.
Hello, Patriots. Hey, let me ask you a question. What are you doing to help right the sinking ship that is this nation of ours? Well, let me tell you, you can actually make a difference by supporting the Brain Massage Show. Pastor Scheidbach is working tirelessly getting God's message out. He's one of the few out there brave enough to tell it like it is. The churches in our nation have really let us down by cowering to the liberal machine. I'm telling you, if we don't take a stand, our children and our grandchildren are doomed. So go to thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button and help make a difference. Thanks.
Pastor Marshall Stevens of Calvary Baptist Church in American Canyon, California, along with several other fine pastors, got together recently and raised a little over $1,700 to help us with our broadcast costs. I'm deeply grateful. Now, you could go to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com and process a gift through the website. Now, if you don't like using PayPal, that's fine. You can use your credit or debit card there. You'll see a place there where we'll give you that option. Or you can call it in. Now, we can take a payment over the phone from your credit card or debit card. Or you can mail us a check to 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria, California, 93455. Be sure to put radio in the memo so we'll know that that's intended by you to go to radio broadcast cost. When you call 888-770-8000, you'll leave a message for us on our listener response hotline. Tell me you want a call back that you might process a gift for broadcasting costs. All right. Let's take a look at Trump's picks and prospective picks. What does it all mean? I like all the generals he's picked. I like what he's doing for foreign policy and national security. We're still waiting to find out what he does with Secretary of State. But Jeff Sessions for Attorney General. Yeah, definitely a no-nonsense law and order man who is unafraid of the mob and not governed by political correctness. Betsy DeVos for Education Secretary. Pro-school choice, vouchers, charter schools, recognizes homeschooling as, quote, another perfectly valid educational option, end quote. Supposedly supported Bush's Common Core, though. Really? Well, she has tweeted, quote, many of you are asking about Common Core. To clarify, I am not a supporter, period. Read my full stance here, end quote. And from that tweet, she gives a link. I follow the link, and here's her full statement on this question. On her site, question, there's been a lot of talk about Common Core. Can you provide some straight talk on this topic? Answer, certainly. I am not a supporter, period. I do support high standards, strong accountability, and local control. When governors such as John Engler, Mike Huckabee, and Mike Pence were driving the conversation on voluntary high standards driven by local voices, it all made sense. Now, have organizations that I have been a part of supported Common Core? Of course. But that's not my position. Sometimes it's not just students who need to do their homework. Boy, I hope you heard that. However, along the way, it got turned into a federalized boondoggle. Above all, I believe every child, no matter their zip code or their parents' jobs, deserves access to a quality education, end quote. And now, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Georgia Republican Tom Price. The lefties are howling, quote, if President-elect Donald J. Trump wanted a cabinet secretary who could help him dismantle and replace President-alleged, and I added the alleged, health care law, he could not have found anyone more prepared, end quote. Yeah. Price called Obamacare an example of, quote, a stifling and oppressive federal government, end quote. Amen. And, of course, the progs are howling. Always a good sign that long-held liberal territory is being threatened. You know, that's when wolves howl, you know. When they feel their territory has been breached, and they want to rally the pack and warn the trespassers. Howl! Congressman Price, here's what he said. Congressman Price has proven to be far out of the mainstream of what Americans want when it comes to Medicare and the Affordable Care Act and Planned Parenthood. Oh, yeah? Well, check out the last election. Howl! You can hear him, can't you? Secretary of Transportation Elaine Chao. Served as Labor Secretary for Bush 2, served under Bush 1 as well. But otherwise, we don't know much about her politics. Obviously, very experienced in leading such organizations, and will likely be loyal to Trump as she was to Bush. Thought to be the right pick for the expansive infrastructure projects envisioned by Trump. So, you know, as I've said many times, Trump's a mixed bag. If you like FDR-type projects where the federal government interjects itself into states' business, a sort of welfare system for the states, well... But anyway, that has nothing to do with his cabinet pick. That's about Trump's own socialist twitches that are there that you see every now and then. But more on that later. Hear the progs howl about Chao being a, quote, Washington insider, end quote. I guess that depends on how you define insider. If that refers to anyone who happens to have worked in the White House or the Capitol ever, well, then yeah, she's an insider. If you mean someone connected to the corruption and cronyism of Washington, D.C., then probably not. Then comes the Secretary of the Treasury, Steven Mnuchin. I assume that's how you pronounce it, M-N-U-C-H-I-N. We'll have to give you a snapshot of Mr. Mnuchin after the break, because we're going to focus on that a little bit. Folks, the ride's going to get a little bit bumpy on the other side of the break, but have no fear. Truth will lead us to safe harbor. Hold on.
Pastor Scheidbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arts, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Now, you all know I endorsed Cruz, and I flew true through all the flack fired at me over his wife working for Goldman Sachs. quote, where is your Goldman Sachs jacket, end quote. Remember that question to Cruz? Proof positive, you know, that Cruz, being married to Heidi, that he was a globalist. No doubt about it. Although she advocated against globalist interests while at Sachs, but no matter. She worked for Sachs, and that made her a globalist. Now, Trump appoints a 17-plus-year Goldman Sachs veteran, invested up to his neck in Sachs, or at least he certainly was. I'm not sure if he's divested any of that. A true blue globalist Goldman. Yeah, and Trump appoints this guy to run the Treasury. Talk about the fox in the hen house. Oh, by the way, not only is this fella neck deep in Sachs, he worked for Soros. Oh, man. And this guy is like a modern-day Scrooge. Yeah, his One West Bank had the reputation for being a quick draw on foreclosures. In one case, foreclosing on a lady 2 weeks behind in her payment. Yeah, they admitted that they might have gotten a little carried away on that one. He made a couple hundred million foreclosing on properties. And, you know, that's fine. I understand that if someone fails to honor the terms of their financing contract, well, that's what happens. But come on. I mean, this guy's company was churning out foreclosure notices like they were manufacturing widgets. Anyway, I get it. I understand. Vultures gather around a decaying corpse. And vultures have their uses. What will be Trump's use for this one? I thought I'd take a look at Alex Jones' take on Mnuchin. You know, Alex wrote heavy on Heidi's connections with Goldman Sachs and has been a trumpet for Trump. So it seemed to me a good place to go to find any mitigating information on Mnuchin, if there was any to be found. Now, for example, maybe Mnuchin was a closet nationalist and worked undercover as a secret agent within globalist Goldman's, which gave him Wall Street creds that he needed in order to mole over into the Soros organization. But no. And in fact, I was somewhat disappointed, by the way. Alex was honest about his assessment of Mnuchin. And assuming Jones was in some way directly connected to this article that was posted on InfoWars titled, quote, Steve Mnuchin, Wall Street Banker or Patriot, end quote. And that's a pretty soft title, don't you think? I mean, for those who were on an all-teeth tear on Heidi, you know what I mean, about this. My experience, by the way, with Alex headlines is, you know, I would have expected something like this if this had been maybe a Cruz pick, okay? Steve Mnuchin, Wall Street banker, Soros puppet, agent for the globalist agenda, etc. No one bothered to entertain the possibility that Heidi might be a patriot. But with Mnuchin, well, you know, let's see. Huh, well, now, you know, globalist, Wall Streeter, or patriot. You know, truthfully, that sounds a little bit more like a brain masseur approach to that kind of question, doesn't it? So we read the article. And it's an honest, questioning look at his pick. It's reserved, to be sure. Quote, though Mnuchin himself has said little, his resume does seem to contrast sharply with Trump's populist campaign, end quote. Wow. Now, is that an understatement? Or what? He brings out that Mnuchin's involvement with Sachs is generational. I mean, this guy's father worked for Sachs before joining the world of hedge funds. Okay. Anyway. And this InfoWars article goes on to point out that, quote, though he, referring to Mnuchin, started his career on Wall Street, his most recent banking experience came when he and other investors acquired subprime lender IndyMac, which was rebranded One West. Though the California-based bank had its own bad headlines for controversial foreclosure practices, parenthetical, wow, Alex must really like Trump. Let me tell you, no one would get punched with so much padding around the knuckles like this is good. Anyway, the article goes on to say, quote, his, that is Mnuchin's, experience in the regional banking sector does give him a perspective from outside the world of too big to fail banks, end quote. Now, the unattributed InfoWars article suckers its Trump-supporting audience by saying, perhaps his time, this Mnuchin again, perhaps his time with One West will keep him more focused on the concerns from those outside Wall Street, end quote. Now, that's about as good a spin as you can put on this. To the credit of Jones' integrity, however, this had to be a huge disappointment for Jones. Although, one wonders why none of this came out during the campaign since Mnuchin was Trump's campaign finance chairman. Very interesting. You know, that never beeped on my radar. I don't know how I missed it. Maybe Jones missed it too. A Soros operative planted in the Trump campaign early on? Wow, how'd they keep that under wraps? Or did it percolate out? I just missed it. Did Soros effect a buy-in to plant influence in a possible Trump presidency? Now, come on. You know that is the sort of thing InfoWars types would be saying if Cruz had picked someone like this. Can you imagine the racket that would have come from the conspiracy crowd? And again, you know, I have to explain, because a globalist one world government conspiracy is afoot. I know that. I mean, it's part of biblical prophecy, for heaven's sake. But I'm talking about these folks who see horns and hooves and a forked tail on anyone who's connected in any way to an organization that has some international interests, the pursuit of which sometimes involves them in wheeling and dealing with agreements that have embedded in them some provisions that could compromise our national security. Something, by the way, that we should look out for. But my point is, this particular mindset is scary in its simple-mindedness, because it's like any minute, these are the types that are perhaps even now squinting their eyes, examining me, listening carefully, thinking, I wonder if this guy's a shill for Soros. And, you know, and based on the circumstance that I don't trust Trump, well, you know what? The Gopher Aristos don't trust Trump. So, you know, what further proof do you need? The brain masseur is a Gopher. He's an establishment rhino. I knew it. I mean, you know what I mean? That's going far, I know. But that's the kind of mindset, that the mob mentality type thing, that it's really hard to deal with. Don't get me wrong. I do appreciate the stand Alex Jones has taken and the work that he's done. But these are all men with feet of clay. And I appreciate the fact that this InfoWars article did at least address, really, I think, all of the important issues. Didn't hide anything, didn't dodge anything. Well, it kind of softened it here and there, but did at least address every important question. And I think, honestly, wrapped it up this way, quote, "Only time will tell whether his," and that's Trump's, "vow to drain the swamp will come to fruition or end up alongside George H.W. Bush's anti-tax pledge and campaign slogan infamy," end quote. And of course, we all remember Read My Lips. Friends, I know what it's like to have someone you invested in and trusted end up doing things that make you feel like you got to come along and defend him. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And the coffee mug, for heaven's sake. But this has got to be troubling for even the most diehard Trumper. I mean, not only did Trump pick one globalist, agenda-driven, Goldman Sachs-connected Wall Streeter, he's picked a pack of them. You know, quote, Trump picks Gary Kahn, Goldman Sachs exec, to lead economic counsel, end quote. Then you've got Stephen Bannon, Trump's campaign CEO, and now Trump's chief strategist in the sack with globalist Goldman in the 80s. Now, how is it that so many Sachs alumni are getting in? Well, perhaps in part by the advice of Anthony Scaramucci, you know, one of Trump's chief transition advisors, who served two stints at globalist Goldman Sachs. But no, you can't go there because Trump picked Scaramucci. And also, these others are firsthand picks by Trump. Trump sought these guys out and hired them. He set out to surround himself with first-string Goldman Sachs players. Players who, by the way, were far more deeply embedded in that company than poor little picked-on Heidi. That was necessary because it was a campaign. You know, I mean, you got to do those kind of things in a campaign. I mean, you got to be pragmatic about these things. So what does all this mean? You know that I don't believe the circumstance of one's former employment is sufficient ground to assume they agree with everything their employer does or stands for. Folks, I suppose there are at least some Christians who work for Starbucks that don't believe it's a good idea to promote homosexuality and same-sex marriage, right? I mean, you know, do you believe everyone that works at Target is personally invested in advancing Governor Brown's toilet crashing policies? I argued vehemently that simply because Heidi worked for globalist Goldman Sachs, that did not mean she was a globalist who was working to undermine our national sovereignty. And by the way, I resented those who made those accusations based on that kind of circumstantial evidence. And those who said effectively, well, that doesn't matter. If that's the end result of her activity, and I said, what are you talking about? Her activity was salt and light in the decayed and dark place against compromising our sovereignty. Now, I don't know what the personal views of Mnuchin might be. I can't say. I'm still looking into that. But these are guys who were deeply embedded in Goldman Sachs. I mean, they're in the sack with Sachs, all right? Far more so than Heidi was. Any suspicions attaching to Heidi, I mean, they must be amplified tenfold for Mnuchin and for Kahn, by the way. But I don't know the extent of their participation in that regard or what influence they extended into those policies and so forth at the time they were there or where they are now. I'm willing to do as Jones suggested. We'll wait and see. But to the question of what do the Trump picks mean, consider. I've always said that with Trump especially, you've got to watch what he does. I mean, what he winds up doing in the end tells you what he means by what he's been saying. Remember, he told us he says what he has to say in order to get the deal. He told us that, basically. He said, you can't take me literally. And, you know, you can't assume anything from what he tells us. Once again, like Obama, Trump has been open about what he intends to do. And one of the things that Trump has told us is this. You don't really know what he's going to do until he does it. If we understand that since he picked a Mad Dog Maddox for Secretary of Defense, that signals that he intends to actually follow up on all his rhetoric about taking it to ISIS and defending this country from terrorists. Well, then you must conclude that his pick for Secretary of the Treasury suggests he intends, well, not to follow through on the implications of his campaign rhetoric regarding Goldman Sachs. Certainly, it makes one wonder about his promise to join the swamp. Do you remember that he made a lot of hay with his attacks on Cruz by playing up the connections of Cruz's wife with Goldman Sachs? You know, he tweeted that, quote, Goldman Sachs owns him. Speaking of Cruz, he will do anything they demand, not much of a reformer, end quote. That's one of his tweets back during the campaign. Now, this was because he had a loan from that bank. Did anyone ever stop to ask whether Trump had any loans from any banks? And then, according to his own ideas about this, would that mean that the banks own him and that Trump would do anything they ask? Well, all these Goldman Sachs picks, you begin to wonder. Not much of a reformer? Now, Trump taps at least three former Goldman Sachs players for his lineup to work on the country's finances. Quote, in Trump's closing advertisement before Election Day, a two-minute spectacular focused on blood-sucking elites, Khan's only senior at Goldman, CEO Lloyd Blankfein, flashed on the screen while Trump said, quote, it's a global power structure that is responsible for the economic decisions that have robbed our working class, stripped our country of its wealth, and put that money into the pockets of a handful of large corporations and political entities, end quote. Now, does he believe that today? He questioned Cruz's honesty with this stuff. He said, is Cruz honest? Quote, there's another tweet. He's in bed with Wall Street and is funded by Goldman Sachs City. Low interest loans. No legal disclosure. Never sold off assets, end quote. Now, apparently, Trump has no problem with being in bed with Wall Street and having ties and connections with Goldman Sachs when it's him. All right, let's clarify. My interest in this actually has more to do with a learning moment for Trump supporters and really for all of us as we watch Trump. I should thank the Donald for orchestrating this little spanking of his children. Their loyalty to Trump will almost certainly be tested here. But from what I've seen, it'll cause them hopefully to learn something. That it is possible that some of these people who have at one time or another worked for Goldman Sachs may actually not be globalists. Go figure. You know, who are conspiring to compromise America's national sovereignty. Who knows? On the other hand, at the level we're talking about with these particular cabinet picks, you know, and the very uncomfortable association with Soros, better keep a weather eye, mates. Listen to what Trump says, but watch what he does. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. So watch what he does. Now, here's a tip for those who want to give me some input for show preparation. Make sure I get it no later than Thursday night. Now, sometimes I can make use of it if it comes in early Friday, but more often than not, I've decided on show direction by Thursday bedtime, and I'm, you know, hit the floor running on Friday morning, but because some good stuff came in late today, and I can't use it. Hopefully, I'll get to use it next week. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. And say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. If you want to write to me, go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. Find a place there to send me an email, and I'll respond to all my email messages and to my phone calls, too, if you say you want me to call you back. If you're in a hurry when you call, by the way, you just say lights on or lights off and then hang up. But I do enjoy hearing from my listeners, so please call. And either way, God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
You can't put a price tag on the truth, but there is a price tag to broadcast it. You can help. Go to www. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon.